work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do. And rightly and humbly would we pray, Heavenly Father, pray with thanksgiving, with praise, with confession, with intercession, and with the deep longing and aspiration of our souls. We thank thee for him who is the Good Shepherd, the Lord, the Savior, the Master, the Friend. We thank thee that even in the midst of these tempestuous days, we discern the power of his word, the strength of his love, the grace of his wisdom, the sacrifice of his body, the eternal livingness at thy right hand. Grant understanding, we pray, of the word and of the spirit and of thy boundless self. May we never strive to confine thee in our words or in our spirits or in ourselves, but impart, we pray, that aspiration that lifts us in word and spirit and self daily toward thine infinite grace and wisdom and love. Forgive our sins. Especially, we pray, forgive the sins of those of us who are striving to find thy will and thy word. Guide, we pray, those who have responsibilities in home, in school, in government, in the mixed international relationships of these days. May we have the compassion of the Master that understands when people are wayward and selfish, when they are hurt and when they suffer. And especially may we discern the qualities which we may help call forth in thy name that shall find the better way and bring forth better days. And again we ask that thou understand the yearnings of our hearts and supply the prayers that we ought to make and know not how. And grant us blessings according to thy wisdom and grace in this seminary, in our denomination, among Christian people all around the world. And let us bless those who as yet know thee not, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I have one or two announcements. And somehow, in my own mind at least, the announcements fall in part with the song we sang and the scriptures we have already read. I changed the song late last night and phoned it over this morning to get it on the bulletin board because I wanted to hear and sing the last words of the third stanza of the song which we sang. His name, like sweet perfume, shall rise with every morning sacrifice. And I tried seeking through my old church history books again last night to find what somehow had slipped my mind, and now even slips it so much that I could not find the book that I was seeking, or at least the page. And may I interject here that if any of you desire really to remember what you learn, and to be anything like a student or a scholar, you never take on administrative work. Whatever you did know gradually seeps out, and my 10 years have let practically all of it seep out. I thought again of Dr. Binkley, He had more, and it'll take longer to seep, but it will seep. You may count upon that. Stay with this study you're doing, if that is the deepest aspiration of your mind and heart. And yet, I would say, do whatever the Lord seems to call you to do, at whatever cost. At any rate, I had read, I know, somewhere that in early Christianity, all the various acts were inspired by the Spirit and name of Christ were considered sacrifices. When one prayed, it was the sacrifice of his lips. When one thought, it was the sacrifice of his mind. When one attended church, it was, in a certain way, a sacrifice. And so, as one expressed the spirit of the Christian religion in the acts and deeds of the body, he was making sacrifices, offering sweet-smelling savors unto God. I truly believe that they had the right idea. And that when we are deeply Christian, as Christian, for example, as I am married, and I thought again of the trip to Europe in 1950, when I saw so many things, and everything I saw, I would think within myself, if she could just see this. That is to say, it wasn't an effort to think, Jesse, it was rather natural. And I believe that it is possible so to be Christian, so to center one's purposed thoughts and conscious thoughts upon Christ, that unconsciously then our life is pervaded by our thoughts of Him and by His Spirit. And so we can do many things. One of the little things that I hope to do this year is to have the seniors two or three or four times this semester over for the coffee break at 10:30 on Tuesday. Well, that's a relatively small sacrifice, but when it's done rightly, it can be significant. Two weeks from today, I believe it is, on March 14, I am responsible again in chapel, and I'm asking now that the seniors plan to go over with us immediately after chapel, and let's get acquainted a little better with each other, with some coffee, donuts, and whatnot. I think one of the sacrifices we can offer here is to see that the lectures which we are privileged to hear are announced wide and far enough that many people can benefit. I believe that 1,000 people could benefit greatly from hearing Dr. Outler when he comes shortly to talk to us. And the same with Dr. Price and others who will be here this spring semester. Will you please remember that? I truly believe that one of the sacrifices with a sweet-smelling savor unto God can be made through this little mite box thing we have promoted here, a constant reminder that we build not only for ourselves but for the future and for future students. I can tell you that only about $100 came in at the very first day of opening. More has kept coming in and is coming in, but we had the goal of 1,000, and I believe we can achieve it. It was my opinion that it would be around $100 or so, rather small in relationship to the full 1,000. And that was the reason, even without consulting Mr. Fisher, who has more or less full charge of those things, I announced that we would open them 2 weeks ago and let us know that we weren't doing so well in order that we might be reminded and inspired to do better. May I suggest that you take them out with you to your churches and in some class or VTU or a WMU meeting or whatever, you just suggest to the folk that they help you do that thing. And that, in spite of something else that I deeply want to say this morning, you see, I'm going to say, if time doesn't stop me, and I'm going to stop on time, that maybe we're having too many offerings and that our denomination is looking at it. I want now to turn to some passages that carry out the thought which I have already expressed and tried to implement with two or three suggestions. But it is a scriptural thought, soundly based. I'm going to read it first from the King James Version. 2 Corinthians 2 chapter 14th verse and following. Now thanks be unto God, who always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and the 15th verse and 16th, we find these words. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And in my old Bible here, a note on the word communicate, and that note says, or share what you have with others. Do not forget to share what you have with others. I don't know how he meant that particularly, but I would rather guess that he meant mind, heart, and other things as well as pocketbook. Now I want to read from the Amplified New Testament, a new version to me, those same verses, and perhaps the very scriptures themselves will speak to us the message we need. The same verses, 2 Corinthians. Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. For we are the sweet fragrance of Christ, which exhales unto God, discernible alike among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the latter, it is an aroma from death to death, a fatal odor, the smell of doom. To the former, it is an aroma from life to life, a vital fragrance, living and fresh. And who is qualified for these things? Who is able for such a ministry? We? For we are not like so many as hucksters, tavern keepers, making a trade of peddling God's word, short measuring and adulterating the divine message, but as men of sincerity and the purest motives, commissioned and sent by God, we speak his message in Christ, the Messiah, in the very sight and presence of God. And then the same passage which I have read already from the King James Version, from the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good and to be generous and to distribute and contribute to the needy of the church as an embodiment and proof of fellowship. For such sacrifices are well-pleasing unto God. Now, I purposely and quickly depart from the idea of money or alms of any sort. The old alms of the Kentucky rural churches. And oftentimes, brethren, when I think of Tuesday morning and you're coming back in from the churches, Monday afternoon I saw several of you returning, I wonder if they have been as good and as helpful to you as they used to be to me when they would give me strawberry preserves and cherry preserves and good old country sausage and occasionally a bit of ham, things like that. I hope they are, because that is truly a communication of a right and scriptural sort. And if they do, I hope you accept it gratefully and that you never beg. A handout preacher. My soul, what good ham this is. I wish my wife and children had some. Of all the despicable words I remember in my ministry in Kentucky, I think they stand at the forefront. And the poor sucker of a farmer went out and cut about 4 pounds of ham and sent it in to the lazy wife and children who were supposed to be there but didn't get up in time to come. Now, I have just come back from a week in Nashville, and they are significant weeks in a sense. The little convention and the doing convention meets there. We didn't have more money to fuss over this year, and so there was a better spirit of religion. I do find an increasing encouragement and an increasing willingness and desire to cooperate with more of my brethren in the various boards and agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention. This I want to say straightly and positively. There is an increasing willingness to look into our life and to try to make the institutional church conform more nearly to what we think of as the spiritual church, the visible to the invisible, to make the body perform more rightly deeds that are dictated by the spirit within. One thing I was asked to do when the first chance I got, and that was by the Home Mission Board, I was asked to encourage any of you who can see your way at all to do it to participate in the Pioneer Program this summer throughout the West. There isn't a lot of money in it, but there's tremendous and deeply valuable experience. And I would be happy to talk myself with you, and I'm sure Mr. Hendricks will be happy to talk with you if you are willing to consider that. I have found an increasing willingness to think and to consider problems that in recent years even, and in former years much, were avoided. For example, an editorial in Home Mission Magazine, this present issue, says these words, and I shall read rapidly, "The wall which has separated church and state has withstood severe batterings from many sources during the history of the United States, but a new force threatens to pull the wall down. That force is segregation. Threatened as well is public school education. The public school has been one of America's finest institutions. It has been the bulwark of democracy, but it is threatened in some states because of the desire to maintain segregation at all costs. Education will suffer at first because no effective means are being, will suffer first because no effective means are being established to regulate the private schools. Actually, the grants in aid program of paying tuition to the pupil provides another stick in the hands of those who have advocated government grants to students of parochial schools. We will not have to wait long until they begin to use the stick upon our backs. This has been their argument all along, and that the grant is not to the church, but to the pupil. If you can grant money for a pupil to escape attending public school with one of another race, why can you not grant money for another to escape the public school because it does not teach his religion? They will argue that one child is punished simply because he desires to attend a religious school, and the other child who wants to attend a segregated school is not so punished. The private school answer is an attempt to solve one problem by creating another. Baptists are separated on the question of segregation, but they have been united more closely on separation of church and state. It will be interesting to see which principle will prevail." I would have been amazed. I am surprised to discover this now. I would have been amazed 2 years ago. May I say to you, and this doesn't fit a sermon as you see, but it somehow fits the central idea that in our living we can do right according to our consciences and our spiritual leadership under Christ, and that they are sacrifices that are proper before God. I have here an editorial which will appear on March the 2nd in one of our leading Southern Baptist state journals, one of the state papers as we call them. "There is a growing concern among Southern Baptist Convention leaders over the spiraling of special offerings and the comparative standstill of cooperative program receipts. Many feel we cannot continue to promote bigger and bigger special offerings without killing or badly crippling the cooperative program. We have a dire need for a unified mission program. This we do not have as far as the pattern of promotion and support are concerned. We are encouraging our people on the one hand to give liberally for the cooperative program on the reasoning that this plan of funds distribution covers every phase of our missions program. But on the other hand, we are urging special support of fundraising campaigns over and above the support for the cooperative program. eventually we must face up to the fact that we either have a cooperative program or we do not. And there will come some suggestions, sacrifices of his mind for the good of many people, for an example to many. Maybe not correct, but they are facings of the problems that are before us. I think I can say, and I believe Mr. Fisher and others who were with us last week on the trip to Nashville can say that there are stirrings of new days. There are demonstrations of courage. There are still eddies and bubbles of selfishness, of denominational pride, and that sort of thing. But what are we here for, except to understand and cooperate with those who are going to the mainstream of God's purpose and to do our best to do away with the things that disturb, defeat, or obstruct the ongoing of his purpose. I do believe that we can work together for tremendous purposes and that the voice of all of us who have intellectual privileges and the insights can be heard and be effective in our day. I would say this in closing, that every intellectual insight we gain in denominational affairs, in missions, in understanding and interpreting the Word of God in any way, in the Christian, must be balanced by an insight or a deed of love, or else the mind will become separated from the person, and we run serious danger of aborted personalities. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege of thinking and of worshiping, of knowing each other. Grant in thy great purpose the blending of our powers for the ongoing of thy kingdom. In Jesus' name.